Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
I'll always remember you.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with us in studio this afternoon to tell us about Cat Stevens' album, Tea for the Tillamen. How are you?
Oh, absolutely delighted to be talking about this particular chap because he's in Dublin at the moment. That was Wild World from the 1970 album. So we're going back a bit here. A man with a varied career doesn't quite cover it. He's from the London area, son of a Greek father, Baptist mother, and he became interested in songwriting at a young age, hugely inspired by the blues movement in America, protest music, people like Paul Simon, singer-songwriter, a man with a guitar, brilliant, brilliant songsmith and a fabulous lyricist.
This particular album, how successful was it?
Hugely. So it's actually his fourth studio album and it is the one that really, really goes epically platinum both on both sides of the Atlantic. In terms of singles, it's not anything that got number one in the United States, but it really built his reputation. And he is also one of the most covered artists. So the one we just listened to as well has been covered. It was a huge hit for another chap called Maxi Priest as well. He's in Dublin, he's talking about his life, and to say that he's had an interesting one, well, doesn't quite cover it.
Wild World, is that the most successful single from this album?
The most successful one is a song. It was one of the singles released. It did very well. The most successful is a song that I think all of your listeners will know. It's called Father and Son. But this was huge and it did really well. It does hint at his eco-warrior credentials.
What about this one?
But they just go on and on. And it seems that you can't get off.
That was Where Do the Children Play? And again, in terms of grounding this man as a man who has something to say about the world, this is very much, it's interesting because its song is over 50 years old, and yet this is a song about environmentalism. It's a song about mass urban sprawl, the absence of green spaces in urban environments. I mean, this is as relevant today as it ever was.
It was ahead of its time.
I think so. I mean, he was coming out of the 60s tradition of protest songs and songs about what we're doing as a human race. But I do think that there's some of those songs that don't age well, and there's some songs that just ring true to the present day.
Would you describe him as a political singer?
I would say initially not so much. I mean, I think he was very interested in, I would say, spiritual themes more than the political, very much someone who is on his own personal journey, which bears out because, of course, ultimately he has a near-death experience. He nearly drowns and he actually completely renounces his career and gives up singing any kind of music for about 20 years. He converted to Islam. Basically, he nearly drowned. He was out in the sea. He thought his number was up and he said, apparently out loud, he says that if you save me, God, I will dedicate my life to you. And the next thing, this freak wave took him into the shore. He renounces music. He gives up anything secular, certainly. And he becomes Muslim and changes his name to Yusuf Islam.
Is that when he changed his name?
Yeah, it took a few years before he actually made that complete jump, but he was on this journey very much, and he completely renounced everything. He did come back. He's had a few controversies over the years relating to Salman Rushdie comments. I'm sure he'll be talking about that in the Olympia because he'll have to go over all of these things. But a man deeply devoted to his music and how it reflects on him as a person.
Let's take a listen to some of the other singles from the album.
One who made me do my best.
So there we have Hard-Headed Woman. Now, this is one that has come in for some sort of retrospective criticism. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we saying about, are we saying women are stubborn? Is that what he's saying here? But I think it also needs to be seen into consideration of a man on his journey. He's looking
for... 1970.
1970. And a man who's looking for someone who's clearly in the music business, probably tempted by the excesses of same, and he's looking for someone to help center himself. Now, what we think about the concept of the hard-headed woman, that's highly subjective. But I do think it's beautifully put together. It's deeply personal. And one thing you will always notice about Cat Stevens is his musical arrangements and the use of the cello in this kind of very strong chorus that comes in to emphasize the point later in the song. It starts very softly. But he had a wonderful way of crafting a song and leading you thinking it's going to be kind of one thing, and then really bringing in a kind of a lyrical hammer and a musical hammer later in the song. A man on a journey, and this is what he feels he needs.
What category or what genre?
I think it's definitely in the folk genre. We've got definitely elements of pop.
Yeah, I would have thought it was more pop now than just listening to, I suppose, more tracks from the album today.
Yeah, and actually his first album was called the title track was Matthew and Son, which actually sounded like it was from musical theatre. It sounded like a story that, or a song that would belong in a West End show. But one thing that's really interesting here, Andrea, is that just before this album, he actually had, would you believe, another near death experience. He had tuberculosis. And he was nearly on his way out. He felt he was on his last legs. But of course, if you're a singer and you get tuberculosis, this completely altered his voice. So he's achieving a higher register here than he previously had. And, you know, it's interesting that we're actually seeing sort of Cat Stevens 2.0 here, because his voice has changed, and it's changed quite simply because of severe physical illness that directly would affect the throat.
Her eyes like windows trickle in.
That is the haunting, sad Lisa, and apparently a true story. Now, details are a little bit vague because all I can find out is a woman who came to work in his household in 1969.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's Lisa?
Lisa is apparently a Swedish girl who came to work, I'm guessing, as maybe some sort of house assistant or cleaning staff. I'm not sure. It's not made clear. But apparently she had a very melancholy countenance. And this is a song that is exactly written about her. He's spoken about it publicly. It's interesting, if you Google this, there's all sorts of other stories. But if you believe the man himself, which is, again, up to, the ear of the listener, I do tend to think that it does sound like it's based on a real person, because it rings so true. And it actually, this is one that reminds me of cups of coffee when I was in college, and my friend Frank used to sing this one. He really loved it, and it was just something that I know I would have come to Cat Stevens late, because but this was one of the first songs I heard, and it just completely caught me off guard because it's so bare, it's so simple, and it's yet so haunting.
Yeah. How successful was this album in the UK?
Hugely, yeah. This got it didn't get to number one, but it hung around. So it was one of those that really, really, really charted very, very well. It put him on top. And we're now in the early 70s, and for the next few years, he's riding the crest of that wave. He would give up music by 1977. So this is the peak years of Cat Stevens, and this album charted incredibly well. The UK charted incredibly well, triple platinum. So this is...
Break the US?
Break the US.
What about here at home?
Oh, he was hugely popular in Ireland. Mm. Now, I don't know if we could say we followed the trends, but I think Irish people can relate to the folky aspects of this, and I think it had a deep authenticity.
He's here in Ireland at the moment. He's actually performing tonight.
I imagine he will sing, but it's about the book. So I think it's going to be songs intermingled.
Oh, it's not a full gig.
It's about his life. He's going to be talking. I think there's going to be more talking than singing. I'll put it that way.
Where is that happening?
In the Olympia. And I'm sure if you have tickets, you're in for a very special evening. I mean, on a very basic level, he's a very interesting man. You know, agree with him on his religious politics, which have moderated and changed over the years. Regardless of that, he is a fascinating character.
This is the song a lot of our listeners are getting in touch with us about. Their favourite, Father and Son.
Absolutely gorgeous. I just think it's a song, and I love a song that where there's a conversation. So you hear a lot of songs which express a viewpoint. There's an actual argument going on in this song. There's the father who is saying, well, listen, this is what you need to do, son. And the son is like, no, hold on now, Dad. I've listened to you now for a while, but I think I'm going to go my own way on this one. And it's an amazing thing to achieve in a song. And I just think he sings one in baritone and the other one in tenor to delineate the two different voices. It's masterful and it's timeless. And I don't think anyone who's had a father can not relate to a song where one person is saying no age and experience and the other one is saying no youthful exuberance.
Are you going tonight?
I'm not going, and I really wish I was.
Well, if anyone's selling tickets, you can let us know. We'll put you in touch with Alan Buckley. Alan, thanks a million for joining us from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. We'll leave you with Alan's favourite song from the album Father and Son. We're chatting about the making of Cat Stevens' album Deep the Dilemma.
How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.